Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Tuesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
That's it.
I like it.
Christian Fourier.
That's the way musicians do it. I had this beat in my head. It was like, bop a doop a doop a doop boom.
And Glenn Ordway. NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal joins the show at 2:30.
I cannot believe you have Jameis Winston at 23 on this list.
It's almost like you're punking the audience.
Don't call it a game show. Big deal, no big deal at 4:30.
Not a big deal, huh?
Now it's time for OMF. On EEI.
Yeah, Jameis Winston. How about having a 26 Cam Newton as one of your top 101 free agents?
I get it, though, too. I mean, Jameis Winston didn't even play last year. Right?
Well, he played.
Threw a touchdown pass.
Well, I'm just saying he didn't even play. And he's the second best quarterback in the free agent draft. Tells you about that class. Not a good class. All right, it's rock and roll on a Tuesday. What's today, Tuesday?
Tuesday, all day, Lou.
All right, Tuesday.
Tuesday,
I mean,
all
wow,
day.
It took you about 30 seconds to say his name. And I'm starting, here's what happens.
There's no way we're going to be able to do that.
The more time that goes by, like just in general, I feel like I'm starting to get pulled into the tractor beam. I feel like I've been fighting it pretty well. I've been doing a pretty good job. Like today, Mike Girardi.
Guys you respect, that's the problem.
Guys that I like, guys that I respect, start, you know, dropping articles, you know, and like describing, you know, what's been going on the inside. And I go, well, as soon as they try to get me out of it, they bring me back in. It's gotta be the buddy system. Okay, it's the buddy system.
I'm not letting you get sucked in.
Okay, it's like I'm gonna watch your back, you're gonna watch my back. Like if we are in some barroom fight, okay, I would say, Lou, let's go back to back.
Wolfpack.
Okay, yeah. Right? We're all together in this. Foxhole guys.
Yeah. My ring's outside.
Do not let me get sucked into this because this is what Giardi is doing right now. He's trying to suck me back into this. Cam Newton's gonna be a Patriot syndrome. I'm not doing it.
But you know what's happening here. There's no closure with Cam Newton.
It is closure. It's closed. I'm closing it.
We have closure. But I think since the Patriots have not closed the door on Cam Newton, all of these guys are writing pieces trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And Giardi has got a couple of guys off the record basically saying he was good. Cam got better. Everything was pretty good. And he closes out his piece by saying it's hard to know which way the Patriots will go this offseason. But what is certain is that no one with the Patriots wants to struggle anywhere near as much as they did in 2020. And then he writes, that part of the equation is not acceptable, but maybe the right answer actually does include Newton back under center in 2020.
And that was the line.
Wow.
That's the one that got me. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh man, right in the back.
They don't want to repeat what happened last year, but the right answer might be Cam Newton.
I'm not buying it. I feel like every article is the equivalent of some carnival game at some amusement park where all the games are rigged. You think you can win, but you can't. You can't get the little ring over the Coke bottle. No, you can't make the basket. You know, they have those little baskets, shoot the basketball. You have to hit it perfectly or the ball's not going in. That's what this is. I would do not get sucked in to the tractor. Do not let the tractor beam suck you in because I keep going back to, he can't throw the ball. I don't care how many weapons you give him. I don't care what you do. He's too slow. He's banged up. He's got injuries. Dude, his attitude and his personality is first rate. One of a kind, man. Oh, I love it.
Look at that. You already dove in there.
However,
you already dove
remember?
In there.
No.
You already dove
however,
in.
However, he can't throw the football. He's not a good quarterback anymore. He's not a starter. How about this? This is better. This is me doing my best. Lou, he's not a starter in the league. He can be in the league, but he's not a starter. How about that? Is that better? I'm meeting you halfway. I'm coming. We're gonna do this together.
What are these people missing? And you know we'll get to it with Rosenthal in a few minutes. But what are these people seeing? And we've watched him every week. So Giardi writes some of the numbers, statistics in the column today. Newton ranked 35th out of 35 qualified quarterbacks in passing yards per game, 177. 28th in passer rating, 82.9, and became just one of five qualified passers since the 1970 merger with a 65-plus completion percentage, 65.8. It was 18th in the NFL because everybody now is throwing it at a much higher rate, and fewer than 180 yards passing per game. He joins David Carr, Kelly Holcomb, Cody Carlson, and the 1983 version of Ken Anderson. Other than Anderson, where's the great company there?
Oh, I just don't I don't get it. And to think that like some of the players that he had in here that he talked to, whatever, thought that over the course of time they felt like he actually got better. Like I felt like if the season kept going, you know, and you didn't get to play the Jets, like they would have finished, what were they, 7-9? If there was like five more games, they would have went like, you know, 1-4.
Yeah.
Like they weren't getting better. I thought it was actually getting a lot worse.
Yeah.
As the season went on.
Yeah.
More predictable. What was it? I forget. After like that with 2-5 start, remember pregame? I think it was before the Jets where they even said like Josh McDaniels was going to try something different. Remember that whole thing pregame?
Yep.
Nobody really knew what it was. And then we watched it. And it was like, yeah, they're going to have him just dumb down this offense. Throw the ball 5 to 10 yards. You're not going to throw the ball deep. I remember that whole thing of like Brady struggling throwing deep. Cam is a much better passer. Like Brady was like, you know, had about 40 passes of 20 yards or more. Cam was like 4 for 7. You know, and they couldn't do it. They didn't do it. Now, a lot of that had to do with the personnel, but they dumbed down the offense. That's what the change was. And they just tried to simplify it and a simple offense, simple completions, as you mentioned before, two wide receivers going out and maybe a running back in the flat. Well, there weren't many options.
Well, okay, so you mentioned, okay, so did they dumb down the offense?
Simplified it.
Simplified it, whatever. Thing. It's a more polite way of saying dumbing it down for a quarterback who can't handle it. So they simplified the offense. Was it because, question for both of you, was it because he couldn't handle it or the receivers and the skill position players couldn't run the stuff that they wanted to?
Both.
Not because they couldn't figure it out, but because they just weren't good enough.
It was both.
They're not good receivers. They're okay, but they're not starters.
They're not okay.
Hold on. They're NFL football players, but they're not ones or twos or threes. They didn't have a number one wide receiver on that roster. And I'm even including Julian Edelman.
They didn't have a number two.
They didn't have a one, a two, or a three. So Jacoby Myers, he's your best weapon. He's a four on any offense. None of the time. Ryan Izzo is a special teams player on any other offense. He's not even an H-back. He is a break glass in case of emergency.
But to your point, I agree with all of that. The weapons were awful. But I think both were the reasons why they dumbed it down. And you would hope
so
that
the perfect storm.
Well, you would hope that it would be just because of the targets, you know, of the weapons that they had out there. The wide receivers aren't capable of doing some of this stuff. But that wasn't the case. Like that was, you know, so it was the case because the quarterback also couldn't do it as well. So why am I going to beat my head against the wall right now, try to simplify it, and you know try to move the ball any way we can and take what we can get? Like it was a very simple offense, and that was because of both, the quarterback and the weapons. It wasn't just because of the weapons. It wasn't.
Listen, Giardi's got a couple of guys saying nice things about Cam Newton. So I think there are two things at work here. One of them is what Christian was saying yesterday. He's a good guy, and the other players like him. He's a likable guy. He's a guy that you enjoy going to work with every day, okay? Interesting, nice guy, right? Approachable. The other part of it is there's no closure. And here's the killer. there won't be closure for a while. Because why should the Patriots close the door and say, we're moving on from Cam Newton? They're not going to do it. They don't know what their plan is yet. So this thing is going to be up in the air for the next couple of months. And I just don't see Cam Newton going out there. And Giardi talks about how Cam wants to go out there and get a job early this time. Does anybody believe that's going to happen?
Yeah, everybody. So is Jackie Bradley Jr.
Right, exactly. That's not going to happen. So what you're going to deal with over the next 2 months is we're going to be dealing with the story only because there's no closure to it. There might be with the three of us, but with the organization, why should they close the door? It's like Jarrett Stidham. They're not going to close the door on Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham is going to be in competition this year. Why not? He's under contract. Oh, maybe at the end of August they'll let him go. I don't know. But there's no closure to any of this stuff. So we're going to be dealing with it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be
Cam
and situations.
Mike Reese has got his whole breakdown on it today. And Kyle Van Noy is going to get cut by the Miami Dolphins.
Linebacker target. Linebacker
I could
target.
See a place where he could play next year. We're going to get to all of that. But coming up next, boy, these people that are the draft Knicks are unbelievable. How is it that one guy has got a player in the top five and another one of these draft Knicks has it in the second round? How about this? There's a guy out there who thinks that Mac Jones, we spent a lot of time talking about him yesterday, is this year's Justin Herbert.
Ooh.
We'll get to it. Coming up next right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
Does this guy move a little bit?
No. I saw somebody the other day talk about he's sneaky athletic. And he's as athletic as we all think he is. I mean, he's to the average Joe, yeah, he can move. But to an NFL player, it's like he's standing still. So I think you are getting what you get with Mac. You're getting guys going to distribute the ball and get you in and out of good situations. And if that's the identity of your offense and what you want it to be, then that's what you're going to get. But he's certainly not going to outrun an edge rusher or a contain guy and pick up something on third and five.
That's Denny Thompson. He is the quarterback trainer who trained Mac Jones, the quarterback
trains,
at Alabama.
Right?
Okay, trains him, yeah.
Knows him pretty well.
Knows him real well.
Yeah.
I mean, he works with him. He understands the pluses, the minuses, the deficiencies, what they have to work on, and everything else. And right there he's telling you he is not athletic. I'm really confused. I'm really confused.
He is what he is.
I'm really confused with these people who put together the draft list and think they know the players. So let's go to Mike Tannenbaum, okay? Friend of the show, Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike Tannenbaum believes that Mac Jones might be this year's Justin Herbert.
You loved Justin Herbert last year. Who's your Justin Herbert this year?
University of Alabama's Mac Jones. This guy is a cross between Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan. He's more athletic than people realize. He's accurate. He's a winner. He's going to go a lot earlier than people realize, and he's going to be a frontline star in the NFL.
He's more athletic.
Are these bold? Are these bold statements again? I feel like the question kind of leads him down a road where he wouldn't go if he was really a GM.
Good morning. It is time to get up.
Well, my only thing is, like, somebody, like, first off, Tannenbaum. I mean, I don't know how many times we've been here before. Like, I mean, we really got to put together, like, the last five, six, eight things Tannenbaum has said. From the Patriots have the best running back room in football.
Yeah.
You know, to stuff like that. I mean, it's been, I got to remember them all because they've been just dead wrong. So he comes out and says, Mac Jones is a lot more athletic than we think. Meanwhile, his personal trainer is like, No, like he's a personal trainer. Yeah. No, not really. Yeah. Like
he said back in November, the Jets need to give Adam Gase more time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, you
I
can
think
go
you
back.
Can make
go
a
back.
Case that the New England Patriot running back room arguably is the best position room of any position of any team in the league.
Man, Green Bay is pretty good. I mean, you know, but that's okay. You know, Dylan Jones, but He go back, man. It's just like it's off the wall. But this guy comes out and he's like, you know, draft guru. Tell us about Mac Jones. And he just talks about how he's better, he's more athletic than everybody thinks.
I think
except
part
his
of
personal
it,
trainer.
Okay, so who do you believe?
None I believe his trainer who's been working with
so
him.
So do I.
Yeah. The only thing that Tannenbaum said that I agree with is he said he's a winner. And as you pointed out, Christian, he might be a winner
They're
because
all winners.
He's playing with all NFL draft picks.
So is Jalen Hurts.
Right. They're loaded with him on the roster. I'm amazed at this. We've done this in the past. We've gone back and looked at drafts and where these draft nicks have picked guys, and they pick guys in the first round, and they end up getting drafted in the third and the fourth round. I don't think a lot of these – I think they just take gambles.
See,
they just guess at some of this
and
stuff.
I just go back – let's talk to Denny Thompson yesterday, who we talked to, right, who runs a quarterback academy down in Jacksonville, trains Mac Jones since he was a kid, works with Gardner Minshew, like – How many times do because I remember yesterday we said we're going to have this guy on. I'm like, oh, here we go. Before we're done with this interview, Mac Jones is going to be the number one pick. He's better than Trevor Lawrence, right? And Gardner Minshew is going to be the best quarterback out there. Just, but it wasn't.
No, he didn't
like,
do that.
It wasn't. He was just like, listen, he doesn't have the juice that maybe these other guys have. But, you know, system, he'll write reads. Like, he didn't pump his tires. Same with Gardner Minshew. He's like, I think he can play, but he needs to be in the right system. So to hear a guy who trains these guys to not come out and say, by far, he spins it better than any college quarterback in the last 10 years. Right?
Listen to,
you didn't
listen
hear
to
any
this.
Of that stuff.
Well, listen to this. He said he's not buying the top 10 hype
right.
for Mac.
I don't think he's going to go higher than that. I think some of this, I think a lot of this is clickbait and putting, you know, four quarterbacks in the top five. Guys know how to spin this. So I think he does fall past 15. My question with New England that you guys would know much better than I do is what is their offensive identity now? And how does Mac fit into what they want to do? Because it's certainly not a Cam Newton type deal, right? So if their offensive identity is somebody spreads the ball around and can get you in and out of the right plays, then Mac certainly would fit that bill. He's not going to have, you know, the biggest, strongest arm. And with the conditions there, I don't know how that's going to work out. But he is, for whatever this is worth, and this time of year, this is normally not a compliment. He is a big-time locker room guy. And so if that's what they want and that's their identity and they want to try to recapture that, then, hell yeah, take him at 15 and see how it goes. But I think from a baseline talent perspective, I think he probably falls into the 20s.
So it's funny because this is why you get into this lying season with the agents. This is why GMs hate this time of year, dealing with free agents, dealing with agents trying to create narratives, you know, trying to use the media to promote some sort of agenda, you know, to raise their value. You can't trust anyone because it's so funny. Here we are. So the last couple days, Mac Jones has been trending. People have been talking about him. they've been, using, attributes, assets like he's a winner, and how accurate he is. Regardless, Charlie Weiss, line them up, all of them. So, sure enough, the new trend is like he's more athletic than you think. He's quicker. No, I've seen the pictures. No, don't look at the pictures. He's much more athletic than you think. Now, the guy that trains him on a daily basis just said, no, he isn't.
Mac Jones, this guy is a cross between Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan.
So how much, you know, how much is that this, a compliment, though? By the way? Hold on. Matt Ryan, I guess, MVP. I mean, Garoppolo. I mean, I guess they're all making a lot of money in the NFL, so I guess it's a... It's a weird kind of mix. Like, you went Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, he's saying the little bit athletic, not a lot athletic. I believe a big part of this right now, though, is media hype. And that media, you get airtime, and there are so many guys doing this right now on TV, radio, and everywhere. You have to say something. And so instead of just sitting there going, okay, Mac Jones could be okay. Nobody wants to say okay. So you either say he's a total stiff, he's a bum, he's going to be drafted in the second round, he's not a first-round draft pick, or you do what Tannenbaum did.
He's more athletic than people realize.
Yeah, no. You fall in love with him. You say he's this year's Justin Herbert, he's going to be great, he's going to be terrific. And maybe you're right. But I think a lot of it now is that media people, these analysts on TV, feel that they have to say something.
Okay, no, I think it's more than that. You can't just say something. So other quarterbacks over the past that were there was a lot of question marks and they went in the first round. Just a couple guys stand out to me, and the two of them are Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow.
Huge mistake.
I mean, because both guys, but these guys were on great teams. Both guys were kind of system guys. But, Johnny Manziel, he had his own issues, but you're like, wow, how do you pass up a guy that accomplished so much and went into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama? Holy cow. Nobody's ever does that except Auburn, maybe once in a blue moon. But so this guy's special. Same with Tim Tebow. The intangibles were too important to pass up. So you ignored all their deficiencies, which is what I think people are, which I think the, players on the staff of the New England and players of New England are doing with Cam Newton. They're ignoring his deficiencies and only highlighting the positives. Both because they can't bring themselves to admit that he's just not that guy anymore. And that's what I think they're doing with Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just let's over evaluate him. Let's build him up as much as possible. Yeah, he looks dopey with his shirt off. Yeah, he's not very fast. Dude's a winner. Like, is that it? Because Tim Tebow was a winner, and so was Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and I don't buy Denny saying that doesn't buy the hype of the four quarterbacks going. I do, because I think people are desperate for quarterbacks and improve the quarterback level. Mac Jones could be the kind of guy that kind of falls late and ends up in the best situation, like a good situation, right? These other guys are going to go to these teams right now. We'll see who trades up and everything else. But he seems like a guy that people will really like. And I know like Jordan Love kind of sat behind, was drafted behind Aaron Rodgers, but that type of thing. Like, if Pittsburgh brings back an Aaron Rodgers and they go out and sign Mac Jones, I mean, not Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. and they sign Mac Jones, and they sort of sit there and say, okay, we don't need you right now. We maybe another year, squeeze another year out of Ben, that type of situation. But he could go to a team like that. I could see him later on in the draft. You're right, the hype. I mean, I think the athleticism just knocks him down.
Yeah, unfortunately, you might be right that the quarterbacks might go because there's such desperation out there. But I would say this, of the five guys, one of them probably will be excellent, one will be very good, and the other three probably will be stiffs or so-so. And they just won't be legitimately good NFL quarterbacks.
If his trainer is correct, then the Patriots pass on him at 15, or they trade that pick and they get more picks and they wait for him to go to in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the reality of it, well then, just wait. Just wait, because you're not going to have to sit there and, force the issue. Like, I don't know. So if the guy that they want is there, I think we all believe they're going to go after him, because that is part of their DNA.
Yeah.
They go after him. They like a tight end, they're going to go get him. They like a linebacker, he's there, let's go get him. Let's not lose him. We like him that much. It's not costing us that much to move up to go grab him. But a guy like Mac Jones, I wouldn't be surprised if he drops late first or into the second round.
So you brought up Johnny Manziel. If I remember correctly, there was huge hype leading up to the draft on Johnny Manziel. And Johnny Manziel ended up going, I want to say 22, 23. Was that right?
Well, he came out in his pads and camouflaged shorts.
Right.
So he was like, "Look, I'm a warrior. I got army pants on."
But it was one of those first rounds where everybody's sitting there watching Johnny Manziel not get drafted, and yet there was a lot of hype leading up just before the draft.
They just it gets to when the blood is in the water. If you're not disciplined with your research and your analysis, you'll get caught up in the hullabaloo of it all.
I love it.
You'll get sucked in.
I love the draft stuff. Everybody. When I think of like draft, like going through the draft, the day of the draft, the night before the draft, I think everybody dreams of like you having like, what was it, Sonny Weaver? Is that the guy from Draft Day? Kevin Costner? That's what you want.
Oh yeah.
That's what you want. You want just everything crap going everywhere. Pats trade 15 down to 23, move up to 21, acquire another pick, whatever, get the guy they want.
Sonny Weaver.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're looking for Sonny Weaver, you know, take over for the Pops.
But you know what happens? It really
want some action.
It messes up a public opinion, because what will end up happening is some guy will get drafted in the middle of the first round. And all of these guys, the draft picks, have him projected as a third-round draft pick or whatever. And people say, what the hell are they doing?
But see, that's where it's also – I know guys round. Like ripping on – I had the guys in the midday last – ripping everybody, right? The Kuipers and the McShays of the world, and how they only got like six right. But the minute somebody goes three or four that's unexpected, the rest of the draft is shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, so you got the third pick wrong. Okay, well, Jesus, that changes – everything. Like the minute something weird happens with the third pick, it just if this year's draft all of a sudden the Jets trade out of two, you know, and they move down, and it just throws the rest of the rounds usually just completely out of whack when it comes to needs. These guys are usually pretty good with their information. It's just, it's too hard to predict.
It's very difficult.
Unless
you've
got Tannenbaum just passing out misinformation on guys in the draft. Yeah, he's a great athlete. Like, much more athletic than people think.
I just think teams have much
more athletic.
Teams have a much different look at what's on their board than a lot of these so-called draft decks. Well, we were fascinated by this yesterday because Greg Rosenthal on NFL.com put together his projected 101 best top free agents of 2021. And there at number 26 was Cam Newton. Based on what? We'll find out when we talk with Greg. He's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, as we've been mentioning, Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com around the NFL podcast put together the top 101 NFL free agents of 2021. Who are the best players available? And Greg joins us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Terrific. Greg. We've got to ask you about Cam Newton. So your list looks pretty good. And then it gets to number 26, your third quarterback. And it's Cam Newton at number 26. Could you please explain it?
Well, I know you guys like to, you know, put all of the Patriots' problems on Cam Newton, but he's a quarterback. You know, he's a quarterback who can play, I think, given a good situation around him, not Damir Bird playing 90% of the snaps and Jacoby Myers being his, you know, number one receiver by far, you know, average starting NFL football still. I think there's a lot of people, too, around the league that believe that still. And that's got a ton of value still in free agency just because of the position he plays.
So, Greg, you said if you look closer at Newton's season, it's clear he's not done yet. And we all agree that the weapons were awful, probably the worst in the league. But we also saw those bad weapons often open at times and him just one hop, overthrow. Like, I think if you look closer, if you watched him every week, you would realize he can't throw the football at an NFL level. Like, he can't throw it deep. He has no arm strength, no accuracy. Like, if I look closer to just watching him, I would say he's done.
There's like a stat, you know, it's just okay. Every stat's got a little bit of a problem called depth adjusted accuracy. He came out pretty average on it. I don't think it was his arm strength. I'm with you that his feet get crazy and it affects the arm strength. It affects the accuracy. That's been up and down throughout his career. That's not what you're getting out of Cam Newton. He still ended up completing a ton of his passes. And I think you look at some of the accuracy of quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks that are doing well, like Josh Allen, in the division, not saying he can be Josh Allen, but I really do believe with like an off season, the physical skills didn't look to me like they were at a crazy other point. It's a team game. You guys know that. You guys watch Tom Brady go 4-5 with a much better group of characters down the stretch in 2019. And I think the way the league's going, you put a better group around Cam Newton, and with a full offseason, he can look better.
So I guess that's it then, huh, Greg? It's just, it really comes down to the weapons. Because it's not like you open it up saying, oh, yeah, you guys, we blame everything on Cam Newton. Well, hell, when Brady was here, we blamed everything on Brady. So he's in good company.
Maybe don't blame it all on the quarterback. Like, it's the ultimate team game. If Bill Belichick thought that the defense that he had in 2020 was coming back, I think he would have come in with a different game plan. But they, you know, their offense, you know, didn't fall apart nearly as much as the defense did in 2020. And it's a team game. And Cam Newton is not good enough right now to overcome that. But I do think if you threw Kirk Cousins, let's say, into the Patriots last year, it wouldn't have been much better. And Kirk Cousins ultimately is like a guy that's going to get paid and play 16 games and be an average starting quarterback.
So do you think, like, so give me a list. I mean, maybe you don't have a list, but, okay, the perfect system, the perfect setup, the right amount of talent, okay, does it have to be Tampa Bay-type talent? Does it have to be, does it have to look like their receiving core and their offense? What is it, you know, what does it have to look like?
Well, certainly, you know, you're going to look better with the talent around you. Even Denver with their young receivers and running back that they have, if they can get a good scheme and protect it up. I actually don't think New England's out of bounds for a year from now thinking like, okay, you know, Cam didn't light it up, but he gets brought back. The offensive line plays better and they make smart moves with what they do and has an extra year in the offense. I know that's not going to be a popular move in New England, but I do find it interesting that, like, the people outside the building think he's totally done.
Why is that, do you think? Do you think there are going to be teams, because you've got him 26, do you think there are going to be teams that will be calling him on March 17th and saying, we're interested in you, Cam?
I don't think he's going to have, like, a super strong market. I tend, you know, all these quarterbacks I ranked, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, anyone that you can put in there that can save you from, you know, totally collapsing. But I do think he'll have a market. Like, I'm talking about people outside the building like yourself and a lot of the media, but you know, like Bill Belichick doesn't talk like that. Other people inside the building
never
don't
does.
Talk like
Bill
that.
Never knocks anybody. He's not going to say a bad thing about anybody, but he'll move on maybe to another quarterback, and he'll still never say anything negative about Cam.
He loves Jared Stidham still.
Yeah.
It's fair. I mean, the proof will be in the action. Like, if they actually give Cam Newton a decent offer, and it wouldn't surprise me, I think it'll be more of that, like, somewhere between a good backup and an actual starter, not real starter money. I don't think Cam Newton's getting real starter money, but if he's willing to come back to New England for $8 million, $10 million, something with that incentives, I think that's possible.
So I saw your list, and you know, he was at 26. Behind him was Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. So when you say, like, top free agents, I'm just curious. Is that teams wanting a guy like Cam Newton over Hunter Henry, or just because he's a quarterback, he's more valuable? Because I don't know how he can be in front of Hunter Henry by two spots, or Jonnu Smith, or Shaq Griffin.
I think it's like total value to your win losses that you can add to the team. And I think quarterback matters that much. A lot of people thought I had Brady too high last year when he was, I think, barely inside the top 10. And that didn't prove to be, you know, nearly high enough. Same with Phillip Rivers. Like, they can make that big of a difference. I do think there's a chance Cam Newton turns his career around. These tight ends are good. But a good, you know, above average tight end is only going to, like, affect your bottom line so much.
I'm just curious, like, because really, I mean, Patriot fans, I feel like, are the ones that really don't want this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how many games do you watch of the Patriots?
Every single one, all season. And I grew up in Western Massachusetts. I watch every team, every game, all season.
But, I mean, you got guys like Rodney Harrison that is, like, the biggest mistake of Bill Belichick's life if he ever brings him back. Like, he can't play in the NFL. That's what Rodney said, and I feel like a lot of people that watched him on a weekly basis said he can't throw the ball.
I'd be more worried about whether, you know, he's watching each and every week. And look, if you kind of go into the All-22 and watch what they're asking him to do, yes, you can absolutely find times where he, like, doesn't hit the open receiver. But it was a beyond broken offense. And what they were trying to do was run the ball and not turn the ball over for, you know, he had some weeks where that helped. He was certainly a key part of their running game, which was really the only good part of their team. I mean, if they had the 2019 defense, they probably end up winning 9 or 10 games. It's not because of Cam, but that was what they went out to accomplish, and they couldn't do it.
So I have this new theory, that Jacksonville is a more desirable location for free agents than New England is. Do you agree?
If they're paying over,
no, keep everything value, yeah. keep everything equal, because it's more about what your future looks like. Like, what Jacksonville's future looks like compared to what New England's future looks like, based on the assets that they're going to have and the ability to win that they have, and then as opposed to the Patriots. I feel like it's Jacksonville, which maybe is kind of insulting to a lot of people, especially people from Massachusetts, but they are set up better than you.
Two things. One, I think there's enough, like, kind of like dogs out there, and I mean that in a positive way, that just love the game of football, that still would love to play for Bill Belichick and want to go win and believe in Patriots. So I'm not sure I totally agree. But I do think the most overrated thing every year in free agency is what teams are more attractive. The team that pays the most money. There is no other, all things being equal. That's almost all that matters to almost every player. I mean, they're going to get one or two bites of the apple in their career, and that's what matters. Belichick has done amazing getting some people at cut rates relatively over the years, but it still wasn't because they're kind of the Patriots. It's because other teams aren't offering them that much.
You just saw it with J.J. Watt. He went for the money in Arizona. Right. He got more money. That's why he went there. Nobody had him go into Arizona. We're talking to Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com. So how is this offseason going to be different, in that we're looking at maybe a ceiling of $180 million. There are a lot of teams that are over the cap. We're hearing already about cap casualties. Kyle Van Noy, apparently going to be cut by the Dolphins. He made $15 million this past year. They released $9 million off their cap number. How different is this going to be?
A little different, and you'll see it with the veteran players in free agency that aren't superstars, that are just good starters, not really getting the kind of money that they got before. And it really helps a team like the Patriots, who I think, you know, want to spend and have tons of cap space relative to the rest of the league. I just don't think those guys are going to make as much. Now, that said, I don't think a ton of guys that teams want to keep ultimately are going to get cut. That's just not how it works. Like, people use the cap as the excuse, but generally it's the performance, even of a guy like Kyle Van Noy, that gets him cut more than his salary.
So around the league type stuff, while I got here for my last question, the Dak Prescott situation. Unfortunately, it looks like Jerry Jones is losing this game of chicken just based on the time that's left. So do you think he'll be forced to pay him, which looks like to be upwards of, you know, $30+ million a year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, right now he's going to be $37 million as a franchise tag guy. I can't imagine they're going to get that deal done before they have to use the tag. They've blown it, I believe, kind of waiting and kicking the can forward. There's some people that just wonder, could Jerry Jones get stupid enough to trade Dak Prescott and then use that high draft pick to get crazy? I think some teams will quietly inquire, but no one really expects him to go anywhere.
Who's the best veteran quarterback for the New England Patriots? Please don't say Cam Newton again.
You can't say Cam Newton.
Outside of Cam.
Outside of Cam.
Well, my answer might make Patriots fans even less happy, which I love to see Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that's my boy. Now I love you.
Wait, what about, there you go. I got to ask you this, though, because the guy that I'm interested in that could have upside, you put at 101, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
101. Why?
Yeah. He doesn't like your
guy. Why? 75 guys in between these two quarterbacks.
You got to make an evaluation, and I've watched every Trubisky. I just don't think he has it. I don't think he's going to have it. I think he's been in an okay situation that he's going to be a career backup. And those other guys, you know, like Fitzpatrick or Cam or Jameis, I think they got a chance. I think they got a chance in a little bit of a ceiling that Trubisky doesn't have.
So wait, so give me your Jameis Winston. I want to hear, because I'm on the Jameis Winston train also. I want to eat a W up here in New England. So what do you got on him?
Hey, I mean, 7.7 yards per attempt. That's top 15 all time. That's above Breeze and Brady. But it's not about the stats. I know that. He makes next-level good decisions. He does next-level quarterbacking things that are really impressive. He's never played a 16-game season where he didn't throw for 4,000 yards. To me, he right now is a league average or close quarterback, and he's obviously got some issues with turning the ball over. He's 27 years old, though. And I think with the right coaching and the right situation, he's got the ceiling compared to any of these other guys.
So last one for me. And obviously wide receiver is going to be a big topic around here in New England. I'm curious if you're hearing anything about franchise tags. Guys like Allen Robinson, Galladay, Godwin. Are those guys going to be off the board? Do you hear anything about tags? Yeah. We haven't had any tags yet, right? We're a week into it.
I think all three of those are almost certain to get a tag. And now I've heard Robinson especially, but maybe Galladay too. It could be a tag and trade situation where you give up maybe a second round pick to try to go get one of those guys. But I think they're all going to get taken off the board. And the best true free agents will be guys like Curtis Samuel and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay. All right, Greg, good stuff. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, making a case.
Okay, so he really, like, no one can really make a case, really. It's not a strong case. If you want to make a case, you go with Jameis Winston. Like, that to me is the case. The Cam Newton, we're forced to kind of continually talk about him, I guess because there hasn't been closure.
So your guy, Jameis Winston, the one thing you got to clean up is all of the turnovers, and he's a turnover machine. But you could find a way maybe for a team to look at it and say, we can fix that, right?
That would be the first thing you would do.
You saw Tampa Bay. I mean, when you continually throw the ball downfield as far as you do, or often as you do, I should say.
Their system, right.
Yeah, eventually that safety comes over the top, and by the time the ball gets there, it's intercepted, it's picked off, decision-making, they push the ball. So I think, that type of year, Jameson probably wouldn't have had the yards on another team, probably wouldn't have had the touchdown totals, but he wouldn't have had 30 picks.
See, this is why I totally disagree with Greg Rosenthal, because he said he doesn't believe it's physical. I think it's all physical.
I think it's arm.
That's right. I think he's got no strength in the shoulder anymore.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the concerns that Ben Volen, who keeps saying how Bill Belichick praises him and raves about, but he always has a button, both when it would be on radio or in print. He's concerned about the shoulder. Like, that right there should take him out of the running.
So when it lasts that long, and it's been now since 2018 that shoulder has been an issue, you finally come to the conclusion of, I'm not sure we can correct this. When you look at Jameis Winston, you look at the fact that he throws all these picks, maybe you can fix it, right?
I think
there is a difference between those two.
A guy, I didn't know. Greg Rosenthal is from Western Mass. He watches all the Patriots games. Either. But I find it hard to believe. I mean, even a guy like Wiggy, like in December, like week 14, 15, was admitting that Cam just was struggling. I don't think he wanted to give him an extension at that point, but you got to go back in time to when you watched like week 14, 13, 15, and you actually thought that like what you were watching was okay, that there was upside. Like, I don't remember ever having those feelings come across my body once, ever.
I got to tell you, I'm shocked at this one, that we are having so many people, and they're usually people outside of New England, that are making excuses and finding a way that it can work with Cam Newton. Even his running ability, guys. He did it well early on in the season. As the season progressed on, did anybody feel good when a play broke down and he was going to run? I didn't. I don't need to hear
The Cam defenders anymore. Let me line up. Let me line up all the reasons why
nice
he played the way he did.
Dresses
all
well,
legitimate
nice
excuses. That's the thing, though. Yeah. All legitimate excuses if you allow them to be. So COVID, injuries, no weapons. Because here's what's funny. Like every time we would rip the Patriots receiving core, like they have no weapons. All I would see really from Chatham is how open everybody always was, how much separation they always got.
No weapons, huh?
Like, okay, now everybody is saying that they don't have any weapons. From Giardi's article, they didn't have weapons. Like, so, okay, so that's the real thing.
See,
it was easy and predictable to guard the Patriots, to defend against them, because all they knew what they could and couldn't do.
Has Matt Chatham come out and give an opinion on Cam Newton? Because you're right, all season long,
yeah,
he's putting all 22 video about showing you all these wide receivers that are open, and it's not because of the weapons.
No, you don't get this information really from a game
watch
broadcast.
Watch this guy. He's opening
ears. Don't say it's the weapons.
That's got to be somebody's fault then if they're all
open. So then what is it?
One safety is doing a half drop, the other safety is doing a straight down the hash like he's cover four or something.
Yeah, I don't get it. But there was one thing I want to touch on. I don't know if we can do a little bit more of this, but talking about those three top wide receivers that are going to be franchised.
Yes.
You have a huge hole at wide receiver, and everybody has these dreams of these guys.
They're not going to get.
They give you some of the names, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, eight wide receivers in that list. It's more of a reality, and I don't know how much they'd be better, but it's not what you're looking for.
No, you want to work further down the list. You're not going to get one of those top receivers out there, I don't think. And the Miami Dolphins have informed Kyle Van Noy he will be released. What about the New England Patriots? We'll get to that more on Cam Newton as well, right here on OMF.